Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you for coming to this house of worship. I think and I believe with all my heart it's a good place to be. It's a good place to worship. By saying that, I'm not throwing out other denominations and other congregations, but I think to be in this house with this congregation is a good place to be. I feel that way in my heart, and I trust you do as well. We are in the Thanksgiving season, and I looked over my notes, and last year I don't think I preached around Thanksgiving, or at least I did not preach a Thanksgiving sermon, so I thought I would share that this morning. We being a people that is so easily to be discontented, so easily to be unthankful, and I thought of the verses in 2 Timothy that talks about the perilous times that will come. And one of the things, one of the characteristics that show us that the perilous times are here is people that are unthankful. And so I thought to myself, well, I don't want to be of that type of individual that is unthankful, so I want to strengthen my own heart, and in doing so, I hope I can strengthen you. The title I'd like to consider this morning is The Root and Fruit of Thankfulness. The Root and Fruit of Thankfulness. It goes without even conscious thought. As we go through summertime and spring and so on, we see a plant. We see a shrub, a bush, a tree that is healthy and vibrant. The leaves come out full on it. And in the fall, if it's a fruit-bearing type of plant, it fills out with fruit. And that all points to a healthy root system. And again, we see that, and we don't even often give it much thought, but at the same time, we know it very well. We know very well that a plant that is not flourishing has a problem with the root system. And as I thought about being a thankful people, I wondered what it was that propels or gives growth to thankfulness. Is it as easy as simply saying, I'm going to be thankful now, and then we're thankful? Or is there an underlying foundation? And as I thought of that then, I think there are some answers to that. I think there is an underlying root, and that hence the title, The Root and Fruit of Thankfulness. But then I wondered about all the ungodly around us and those people that we meet that maybe don't even profess Christianity, yet at the same time, they seem like a thankful person. And so what is that? I guess there's a lot of discussion. We can ask ourselves questions until we confuse ourselves as well. So again, this morning we'll look at a portion of this subject, the root and fruit of thankfulness. Colossians 3:15 says, and be ye thankful, a command to God's people. Turn with me to Psalm 136, a passage here I'd like to read, some beautiful words that the psalmist gives of praise and thankfulness to God. And there again, I should probably mention that when it comes to contentment, thankfulness, and praise, in my mind, it's kind of all rolled together in one cloth. And so as I speak, you might say, well, he's talking about contentment. He used thankfulness. Well, in my mind this morning, it's going to be kind of rolled into one. But in Psalm 136, it says this, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. And by now you're saying, well, how hard is it to write a chapter in the Bible with half of the verse of every verse saying, for his mercy endureth forever? I'll not read the rest of the chapter, but we just see how that the psalmist is overwhelmed with the mercy of God and the goodness of God. And he said, thank him because he's great. Thank him for he's good. For he's the God of all gods. He's the Lord of all lords. We have reason to be thankful this morning. I'd just like to read that, just read those verses to give us an inspirational start. And just think about, again, what really is important in life. What really is important. And that is the spiritual, the things of God. And I believe an unthankful heart is an evidence of how much, I should put the word I in there, how much I am focused on the temporal rather than spiritual. I believe that's true. An unthankful heart is an evidence of how much I am focused on the temporal rather than the spiritual. You know, there's some of the littlest things that can go wrong in my day. Some of the littlest things that causes a loss in my experience or a disappointment or and so on. And as I focus on that, it drains me of my contentment. It drains me of my praise. It drains me of my worship. It drains me of my thankfulness. And so an unthankful heart is that heart that when these little things go wrong, or big things, sometimes they are big, we focus on that, and I become unthankful. So an unthankful heart is an evidence of how much we are focused on the temporal rather than the spiritual. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God's will is for us to give thanks in everything. And I heard a preacher once explain it this way, and I believe he was correct. I can agree with him. He says, it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. That means when we're in deep disappointment, deep trouble, deep things that are going wrong, maybe even tragedy. In that, find something to be thankful for. I don't know, I heard in Larry's prayer, and it's correct. He said he thanked God for the hardships that we went through, and I believe we need to come to that point. But I don't know that it's always possible to be thankful for it, especially when you're in it. But as we pass through those times, we can look back and we can thank God for what we learned. But I think the wording is important in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. In everything give thanks. Even though life is tough right now for you, for me, find something to be thankful for, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. I'd like to look at the first part, the root of thankfulness. Turn with me to Job. The book of Job. As I thought about a man, an individual that faced tremendous loss, and yet how he kept heart in it all, and I believe kept a thankful heart. Just a few verses we like to read. I'm not going to read the whole story, but maybe we should, but I'm not going to. As we could read about how he lost all his substance, his 7,000 sheep and his 3,000 camels and his 500 yoke of oxen and his 500 she-asses and a great household, which means he had a lot of servants. And he had, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And like in a day's time, it was gone. It was taken from him. But listen to some of the words that come from his mouth. Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and complained loudly. No, it doesn't say that. It says he worshiped. He worshiped. How did Job worship? And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Similar words down in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In this account, his wife is trying to sideline him. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. This is God's fault. Give it back to God. Tell him what you think of him. And then just go ahead and die, because that would be okay." But Job says in verse 10, "Unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? And in chapter 2 is the second wave of trouble that Job had in his health and so on. He's smote with sore boils. And so that was, those words were after he had lost everything, and now he had even lost his health. And he says, but God is in control. He said, we're going to go ahead. Job said, for me, I'm going to look at God as sovereign. I'm going to say God sometimes allows disappointments in my life. Sometimes he allows hardships. And sometimes he allows good things. And that's just the way it's going to be. He did not listen to his wife. So these, I'd like to draw a few thoughts and out of these verses and Job's perspective. And number one, I believe, as we think about the root of thankfulness, where does thankfulness spring from? As we look at Job's life, I see that he had a correct perspective of God. A correct perspective of God. That meaning to me that he had a solid grasp on the sovereignty of God. He had a solid grasp on that. He understood who was in control of the world, of his life, of his health, of the things that he possessed. He understood. He had a solid grasp on that. And if we have a solid grasp of the sovereignty of God, it lays a foundation for thankfulness to spring from. As I studied this message, that really burned into my heart as I thought about the discontentment that I face with disappointments and loss and hardship. And as I thought about how, well, we'll go back to Lamar's sermon last Sunday, as we make choices and our focus shifts and Our mind goes that way. And so as I focus and think about the hardship and think about how it's not fair or think about why that I have to go through this and why me, Lord? And my mind goes that way and it drains me of that thankfulness. And it really comes back to me not believing that God is sovereign and things are in his control. What does sovereignty mean? It is the state or quality of having supreme power or authority. That is God. God has supreme power and authority. This is our God, is sovereignty of God. It is the supreme independent power. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. All of those things. So God is sovereign. He is in control. And so as we face life, I believe having a thankful heart rests on this solid grasp of sovereignty, which means is a firm belief that nothing is outside of God's control. Nothing is going on in my life that hasn't crossed God's desk. And I believe I mentioned that in an earlier sermon. But a firm belief, nothing's outside of God's control. As out of control as my life seems, I am his child. Things are happening, things I don't like. God is in control. He's sovereign. It's his world. It's his earth. He created it. I am his because he made me. God is sovereign. He's the owner of all things. He has the state and quality of having supreme power and authority. Supreme independent power. And at the same time, so we've been thinking about a lot of things that go wrong and keeping our thankfulness in there. But God also said to the children of Israel, he said, when you go over there into Canaan, he said, and you live in houses and you have all the food that you want and life is good. He said, then don't forget me. So that's also a temptation for us when things are hard. We says, God, why? And we lose our thankfulness. And other times life is so good that we go on and become unthankful. Aren't we a terrible people? God knows our weaknesses, but he wants us to be strengthened. So James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our life is full of good things. If we really look, as difficult as our experience may seem to be, if we look, if we count our blessings, there are so many good things. And we could go on and on and on about those things, food and clothing and warm houses and even warm church buildings. It's just the things that we just expect to be in our life. So many of them are there, and when they become a routine, become something that we become used to, we just we don't think about how important they are to our comfort and our existence. And so we need to be reminded of these things. And then Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And these are the things that we must focus on as we think about the root of thankfulness, a firm belief on this sovereignty of God, a firm grasp on it, understanding that everything that God is allowing in my life, the good, the bad, it's all working together to the good of them that love him. And so, in other words, God is painting a picture much bigger than we can see. An artist, when they paint that, they paint that picture. Either they're going off of something, but some of them, it just is in their mind. And so they begin. In fact, it was some years ago that Kay and I were on a little trip somewhere. I forget even where it was now. But the, as we walked through this, I think it was like a little, it was a building with exhibits of wildlife and so on. As we exited the basement to go outside to look around, there was a man down there painting a mural on a wall, a big painting on a whole wall. And it was interesting to watch him. He was finishing up the details, so you could largely see what was there, but it was, since it was a big painting, he'd get his brush and he would stand back and he would walk up and he would start painting. And the way he was going is like, you know, I could have told him, "Listen, you're not being nearly careful enough." But who was I to say? The picture was beautiful. And even for him being the painter, he would back up so that he could see the broader picture. So many times our face is right in that painting. We're seeing one little part of that painting where God is painting the big picture. And truly he's making it beautiful. All things work together for good to them that love God. Let's not forget that. As I think, Dan, about the sovereignty of God, I think another point that helps us to grasp the importance of it or how it works out is a surrender of our will to God is getting rid of the trash that clogs the pipeline to a thankful heart. In other words, when we have a grasp, a solid grasp on the sovereignty of God, that causes us to surrender. Surrender is a very important word. It's not always a very appealing word to us, but to surrender. Surrender means we give up our will. We give up and we let God have his way and his will. And when we surrender that, it gets rid of the trash that is clogging the pipeline that God wants to pour thankfulness and good things into our heart. Right now I have a little issue with my skid loader. I'm not sure what's happening, but I've looked at it a couple times, but it runs out of fuel. Tank, plenty of fuel in the tank. I replaced the filter. I drained the water off the sediment bowl, but still, when I have it full throttle, it starts to flutter. It starts to flutter, and after a while, it stalls. If I take the line off, sometimes I hear a vacuum. I'm not sure what's going on, but if I blow back into the tank and hook it back up, bleed it, it'll fire right back off. So I think there's something in the tank that as it's going, as it's running, and the machine is moving, I think it's sloshing. There must be something that comes and is clogging the bottom of that fuel pipe. Is the only thing of the fuel line. It's the only thing I can think that's going on. But that's what happens as life is rocking us, as we go through life, and that trash of our own will, the trash of not surrendering, clogs that line, and we sputter, and sometimes we stall. A surrender of our will to God is getting rid of the trash that clogs the pipeline to a thankful heart. In other words, acceptance of life's happenings and events promote thankfulness, whereas resistance promotes an unthankful heart, even bitterness. You ever go through a period of life where you just seem like life is crushing you and we're spending our time pushing back so life doesn't crush us? I saw a little video clip recently of a man that had a tree partway cut off. I don't know, almost looked like he was hacking at it with an axe. And then suddenly he decided, I guess he didn't want to work with the axe any longer, so he started kicking the tree. It was about 2-3 feet off the ground. He'd back up and he'd kick into it. And he was trying to break it off. Well, finally it broke off, and when it did come down, it hit him top of the head. But see, we do this in life. We resist. This has to happen. This has to happen. And when we finally snap it off, it hits us on the head. This is about the sovereignty of God. A solid grasp on the sovereignty of God means that we exercise, I want to say that we do accept life's happening, but I know the struggle. But if we have this in our heart, that God is sovereign and he is this independent power, he is the supreme power, then accepting life's happenings and events are much easier. And then that promotes thankfulness because we're not resisting all of those things. Recently, we had quite a few things go wrong. It started back in, I guess it was in Labor Day weekend. My disc bind was stolen right out of the parking lot there at my dad's place. And I don't know, in the subsequent weeks, the central vac in our house quit working. The wash machine quit. And this was all, that was kind of the background. And then the rest of these, I think, happened within 24 hours. And you can laugh if you want to. You can smile because you won't hurt my feelings. But it was just a lot of little things that added up to, it got kind of heavy. So in about 24 hours, the starter went out of my truck. The garage door opener quit working. And the batteries in the skid loader needed replaced. Cold weather was coming and it barely started anymore. Shane's glasses got broken. My air compressor destroyed itself, and I got a flat tire on the tractor and the car, all in 24 hours. And guess when I had the flat tires? Yeah, right after the compressor broke. And see, we can resist that. And I'll say for a while that we did. So we Saturday morning, we were running around getting batteries for the skid loader because it was going to get really cold, and I knew it wouldn't start that next morning to feed hay. And we were running around trying to find someone to fix the car tire because, you know, places close on Saturday about noon, right? And so we're running around, and this place didn't have the right tire. This place wouldn't fix it and so on. And I was with Kay in the car, and I finally said to her, I said, you know what? I said, let's just give up. We don't have to. This tire don't need fixed today. Let's just surrender to the circumstances. And there was a lot of rest with that. It didn't have to be fixed today. But see, life seemed like it was spiraling out of control, so that kicked us into high gear because we have to gain on this, at least today. We got to get some things fixed, right? But there's times when we just step back and say, it's okay. It's okay. And that's hard to do, especially if you're a goal-oriented person and you want things fixed. But there's times to just step back and surrender. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fix the things, but there are times that things are an emergency. I understand that, but let's not let our feelings get control of us, where we lose our rest and our peace. See, our state of thanksgiving rises and falls with our grasp on the sovereignty of Almighty God. Second part, just looking at a few practical things. Choosing to be thankful and thinking about the fruit. Actually, no, I still am on the first part. This is part of the root as well. Choosing to be thankful is the second, after the sovereignty of God, the second thing is choosing to be thankful. It's another root that is there that thankfulness springs from. We commit ourselves to choosing to be thankful no matter what the circumstances. But then the question came to me, what if I don't feel thankful? What if I don't feel thankful? So our commitment is, as Christian people, our command is from God to be thankful. But what if I don't feel thankful? Well, as I read the story of Job, I think I can say this. This is what I believe. I believe neither Job nor his wife felt thankful. I don't think they felt thankful. I'm not sure how they could have, being in the human body, in the human experience. But Job chose to give thanks in everything, and his wife did not. I'm not convinced that Job felt thankful in his heart, but he had committed himself to the sovereignty of God, number one, and number two, he chose that the things that would come out of his mouth would be to the glory of God and to be in verbal thankfulness. He chose. So it comes back to the thought, that is never wrong to do the right thing, and that is to be thankful. And we can choose, like Job did, to focus on the goodness of God instead of focusing on our trouble. Now, the second part, the fruit of thankfulness. Just four things I'd like to give as we think about what difference should it make in our life. What difference will thankfulness make in our life? Number one, I think one of the things should be we should be giving verbal expressions of praise to God. Psalm 34. Turn there, read a few verses. Psalm 34, 1 through 11. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Excuse me. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Again, showing us that the focus on God. But now, David is given expression, and I think this should be our life. I think a thankful heart, or the choice to be thankful, will come out of our lips. We will give verbal expressions of praise to God, thanking him, telling of the goodness of God, even in the midst of a, quote, bad day. Even in the midst of loss and disappointment. It should never affect us to the point where we speak badly of God, and that it robs us of our praise and the verbal expressions of God. And I think it's one of the fruits of thankfulness is to give verbal expressions of praise to God. Number two, I believe another fruit is contentment that is felt in the heart. There should be in our life the contentment, a deep settled satisfaction with how God has planned our life and what he is allowing. And again, this is not always easy because our life may seem difficult. But we should work at that, and as we think about God and his sovereignty and that how that he has the rights and the authority and everything, and we are his people, and we are so small and so undeserving. There should be our contentment should come into our heart. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And there we're crossing up the word content with thankfulness, but I believe it's very similar. But Paul said he learned it. He didn't say it came automatic. But he said he learned it. And I think as God's people, these are things this is our life. This is the Christian life. Doesn't mean we won't have ups and downs, but we press on to learn to be thankful. We press on to learn to be content. This is what we fight for. It's the battle we are in. But Paul said he learned. And we know that Paul had some difficult times. I think one of the things that contentment is in the heart is, as I looked up this word in the Greek, in my studies, content in this verse meant self-complacent. The word complacent we often view as a negative word, and it is in a lot of ways. If we're complacent in our spiritual life, it means that we're kind of sleepy, not vigorous in our pursuit of God, not active in holy living and so on. Complacent is a bad word when it comes to spiritual living. But when it comes to describe how we are to be content and thankful in our heart, it's a good thing. It's self-complacent. It means that when things happen in our life and we know God has control, we say in our heart, it's okay. It's okay. Difficult things come and we say, God, you're a sovereign. You're in control. This is okay. And something else happens. Something that's disappointing, and we say in our heart, God, you are God. This is okay. content, thankfulness. And I believe that's how contentment works out in the Christian's heart. And again, I know it's a journey. It's not a once and done thing. But I was encouraged as I studied that and tried to put that into my own experience. As difficult things come in our life, things that want to upset us and take away and drain us of our thankfulness, instead we say to God and say in our heart, it's okay. Number three, another fruit of thankfulness is a tongue that does not complain. Complaining can come so easily, and I just gave you a list of things that went wrong in one of our days, but I don't think I was complaining when I said that. I think I was just relating them to you. And so there is a difference between being connected with reality, the things that are happening, and sharing for encouragement, and there's a difference between complaining. And I think you understand that. You've heard people, you know, complaining generally takes on the pity me, and maybe even a little bit of a whine that's inserted into the recounting of the things that are going wrong. There's a complaining, not simply a listing or a relaying of facts. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings having the thought of complaining. The fourth fruit we'd like to consider is a life marked by generosity. I believe it's a fruit of thankfulness. Christians should be the most generous people on the whole face of the earth. And again, I believe it's a mark of thankfulness. When God has bestowed so many good things on us, and even when maybe we're not overrun with good things, still the ability to look out in society, look out to our neighbors, look out to our family, look out to the church family, and say, how can I share? How can I share something? I just believe that is a fruit of thankfulness. And when we're tight-fisted and we have that life that is all bound up in itself, somehow to me that expresses a life that is unthankful. And I believe God views it the same. So a thankful heart operates as a steward, not an owner. A steward is someone that takes care of his master's things. And that's really the way it is. Really, the things that we call ours are not ours. They're God's. We're taking care of them. He has given them to us. He wants us, I believe, to have comfortable lives. He wants us to have warm houses. He wants us to be able to feed our children. He wants us to sit down, and he wants our stomachs to be full. He wants us to be even healthy. But he allows things into our life at other times that are not that. And so these things that we have are not ours. And so let's not go through life all bound up in our own life and all tight-fisted. But let's look for ways to share. And many times those ways are not seen by other people, and that is fine. But between you and God, what are you sharing? Am I sharing? What can I share? We need to go through life asking that question, what can I share? So they're just those few thoughts I thought would maybe strengthen us as we think about being thankful to God, because God is so good. He's sovereign. He's king. And he also, as we opened up, the message, as we looked at that verse that says that part of the perilous times, part of the people that God cannot sit well with, the people that, yes, irritate him, are the people that are unthankful. And so may we be strengthened, and let us develop the root so that we can express the fruit. Shall we pray?